Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Verses 1 through 20, all of Matthew chapter 28. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. Thank you for the ways your word empowers us every single day. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be believers who both hear your word and do it as well. More and more open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to understand the need for us to be faithful, both hearers and doers of your word. And help us to recognize, Lord, that great blessing, great power, great mercy can work in us and through us as we simply daily hear your word and do it and obey it, living it day by day. We thank you and praise you for the wonderful gift of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
God, we are so thankful for your word. We're thankful for how you bring it to life in our lives, this wonderful redemption story, Father, showing us how we can be redeemed and the great price that was paid for our redemption. We thank you for that loving kindness that you've shown us by sending your Son to die that terrible death on a cross for sinners like us. We thank you for that today. Forgive us, Father, when we take that for granted. Father, if we have listeners now who don't know you as their Savior, we pray, Father, that you would work in their hearts, that you would draw them to yourself, that today would be their day of salvation, that they would look back on years to come and see a time when you rescued them. We love you, Father. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I want to remind our listeners, this is our week of our spring share-a-thon, and we certainly look forward to the Lord blessing and using it mightily for His glory. Hope that you will be able to be a part of it. Please pray with us throughout this week for the Lord to anoint it and bless it, to use it, and believe the Lord with us for people to both be saved, to be strengthened and empowered in their faith, for the Lord to bless the share-a-thon spiritually and financially. So you would join us in your prayers and your faith. We would very much appreciate that. It's our Tuesday through Thursday of this week. Again, thank you for your prayers. I want to remind you that we very much desire your prayers on an ongoing basis here at the American Family Association. We need your prayers, and so please lift us up on a daily basis. And I ask for your prayers specifically for the Hour of Intercession broadcast as well, that the Lord would use it more and more to raise up and to empower and to equip more and more prayer warriors who understand the need for us to be an interceding church, a church that takes prayer very seriously, that it's praying daily on a daily basis, faithfully building the kingdom of God and accomplishing the things and the work of the kingdom of God as well. Today, as we look in the Word of God, we're focusing on the topic, the call to be a hearer and a doer of the Word. Again, the call to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. And I'd like to invite you to look with us in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Verses 1 through 40, Hebrews chapter 11. Again, we're looking at the topic, the call to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. And to all of our listeners, I want to stress to you that it's critical that we as believers understand that every believer is called to be a diligent student of Scripture. We're called to read and study and meditate on the Word of God each and every day. But along with being a diligent student who reads and meditates, we're to be doers as well. We're not to just simply be listening, but we're to be hearing what He says, and we're to be living it out. Remember, the Bible is a book full of truth, but truth is always meant to be applied. And the blessing comes by being a hearer and a doer of God's Word. It's so important that we recognize that we're not simply to read, but we're to read in order to do. When you learn truths from the Word of God, we're to apply them, we're to put them to work. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning at verse 24, it says, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. A powerful picture and parable that Jesus shares of the story of the two builders. One man built his house on sand, the other one built his house on the rock. Well, the one who built his house on the rock is one who heard the Word of God and he did the Word. He was a hearer and a doer of the Word. On the other hand, the one who built on sand was someone who heard the Word of God but failed to be a doer. To build our lives, our houses, our life, and to build our life on a solid foundation, we must be hearers of God's Word and doers. How many believers stumble because they fail to recognize that God's Word is meant to be a book lived by? It's our guidebook for life, and God fully expects us to hear it and do it. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to read and meditate on your Word each and every day. Thank you for the opportunity to learn your will and to apply it as we walk in obedience to your word. Help us to be a people that are fully committed to both being hearers and doers on a consistent basis and as a lifestyle. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, the call to be a hearer and a doer of the word. We'll be right back.
But I'm making a stand. You surround me, I'll ever
music from The Afters, the song simply entitled Battles. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of the call to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. And we were just looking in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, and I'm actually going to take a moment to read that passage more, a little bit more expanded. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Verses 21 through 27, Matthew chapter 7. Now here this passage very powerfully lays out some critically important truths for every believer to understand. One of the things the passage in starting at verse 21 points out is that when Christ returns and at the judgment seat and in the judgments on the judgment scene, sadly there will be people that in their minds they were saved, they knew the Lord and fully expected to go to heaven, but will find out that sadly they'll be destined to an eternity in hell. And what's going on? Well, basically, God tells them, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. In other words, if we're genuinely saved, we should be living an obedient life. We should be hearing God's word and doing it as well. So again, it's a critically important passage for every believer to remember, because sadly, again, as I mentioned, there will be those who in their minds, they fully expected to go to heaven, but will spend an eternity in hell. Why? Because they weren't living a lifestyle of obedience. And the reality is, if you're genuinely saved, you and I should be striving to be an obedient people. So our obedience should reflect a true life of salvation. So keep in mind, our obedience is a very important part of who we are and who we're and the lifestyle we're to live as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in the broadcast, we did read the passage in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, which tells us it includes the Great Commission. The Great Commission is where the Lord is basically letting us know that we're all called to be involved in the very important work of works of evangelism and discipleship. Again, Matthew chapter 28, the verses in the latter part of the chapter, verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Again, we're called to be hearers and doers of God's word. That's a calling upon the life of every single believer. And one of the clear commands, the priority commands for the church, is found here in Matthew chapter 28. We're to go into all the world and make disciples. Every believer is to be involved in the wonderful work of sharing our testimony, telling others how the Lord saved us, and inviting them to come to know Jesus as well. We're to be involved in the work of giving out gospel tracts and figuring out ways to be sharing the good news of helping people to come to know Christ, and then helping them to grow up and to become disciples themselves. That's the work of the church. And you know, every believer listening, we need to ask ourselves, am I doing that work? Because remember, all of us are called to a life of obedience. Every single believer, and our obedience should be reflected. Again, if we genuinely know Jesus, we should be living an obedient life. So the work of sharing the gospel is to be a lifestyle for we who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of encouraging believers to grow up and grow strong in their faith, that's the work of making disciples. on a daily basis and as a lifestyle, we're to be encouraging others in their prayer life, encouraging them in their study of the Word of God, encouraging them to seek to know the will of God and the call of God upon their lives and to fulfill that call. All of this is a part of the work of making disciples. Remember, we're all called to be disciples, and we're called to make disciples as well. So that's a part of being an obedient people. We're called to be hearers of God's word and doers of God's word as well. So being involved in the very important work of making disciples is very, very important for each and every one of us. Also, we're called to walk in love. You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks to us about what the love of Jesus looks like. And keep in mind, the Bible also lets us know that if you were to ask the question, how will people know we belong to Jesus? They would know by the love of Jesus Christ at work in our lives. Well, keep in mind, we're all called to walk in the love of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 lays out very powerfully a powerful picture of what the love of Jesus Christ looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The life of a believer should be full of the love of God. The love of God should be reflected in our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do, the lifestyle we live. Now, the reality is all our Christian life, we're to be growing and we're to be maturing and becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer is at a different place in their walk with the Lord from any and every other believer as well. But all of us are to be growing in these areas. We're to be growing in the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. We're to be a people known for the love of Jesus Christ. So that's why as believers, something's very wrong if we're mean and selfish and rude and not loving towards other people. The love of Jesus should be working mightily through our, again, as I mentioned, through our words, our action, our attitude, the way we carry ourselves, the things we do, the things we give ourselves to as well. So we're to be walking in the love of Jesus Christ every single day. And so keep in mind, none of us are saved by works. But remember, if we're genuinely saved, that salvation should be reflected in a life of obedience, a life where we're seeking to be hearers and doers of God's word. So we're to walk in the love of Jesus Christ. Also, God's word tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Specifically in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it tells us, beginning at verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Again, keep in mind, there are several commands in this short passage, but we're wise to seek to obey all of them. The first command in verse 16 says, rejoice always. We should make it a habit to rejoice throughout the day. In other words, several times a day, just words of thanksgiving and rejoicing. Thank you, Father, for this day. I thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice, and we thank and praise you. Glory to God. Words of rejoicing. We're wise to do that. Why? Because that's what God is telling us to do. He says, rejoice always. We're to live a lifestyle of rejoicing. The Bible also says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. We need to pray and ask the Lord to teach us and empower us to do exactly what he said, to learn to live a lifestyle of praying without ceasing. What does that mean? Well, again, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to do that, but to live a lifestyle of praying throughout the day and praying in the Spirit as well, but living a lifestyle of praying continually. The Word of God tells us to, and God wouldn't tell us to do something we cannot do, but we're wise to say, Lord, teach me and help me to learn how and to faithfully do what you said when you told us to pray without ceasing. You know, the Holy Spirit knows how to help us. We need to be wise enough to pray and ask him for his help. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to read passages like this and to obey them. Teach us, guide us, and help us to be obedient. And help us to recognize, Lord, there's great benefit in us being hearers and doers of your word. That great blessing and great grace and great encouragement, great joy follows those who hear your word and do what it says, because there's great benefit in walking in your wisdom. We thank you for the fact that your word is a book of wisdom, and that as we apply it, it will bless us tremendously. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, keep in mind, the Bible is a book. It's a powerful book. It's the greatest book in all of the world. It's God's book. 66 books within the book of the Bible. And from Genesis to Revelation, remember, it's God's book. Now, God used around 40 or so secretaries to write the Bible, but it's God's book. And it's a book full of wisdom. It's wisdom that will bless your life, that will cause the grace of God to flood your life and cause the blessing of God to engulf your life as well. So it's so wise for us to be faithful hearers and then doers of his word. Remember, we're to read in order to do. Remember, truth is always meant to be applied, and truth will always bless your life as you take it and obey it and run with it. So we're to be hearers and doers of God's word. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a book full of wisdom. And some may think of it as a book full of secrets, but they're secrets that God doesn't want to be secret. God wants his children to know his word, to know his will, and to apply it, because blessing always follows it. Remember, every act of obedience is followed by an outpouring of grace in greater measure for your life. So the more obedient you are, the more the grace of God pours into your life. You cannot earn grace. None of us deserve it, nor can we earn it, but obedience is one of a term that I like to use, that the great preacher of the gospel, John Wesley, used, was means of grace. When we hear and do God's word, that's one of the means of grace, obedience to God's word. We don't earn grace, but we allow the grace of God to pour into our lives in greater measure as we simply hear it and do it. You and I are called to be hearers and doers of God's word. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to read your word, to learn its wisdom, and to apply it to our lives. Help us to grow an understanding of the fact that your word is the greatest gift that we can possibly receive. As we hear it and as we do it, the blessing will follow us wonderfully. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking today at the topic of the call to be a hearer and a doer of the word. We'll be right back.
Should already die. think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that.
Music of Rich Mullins, Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of the call to be a hearer and a doer of the Word. And we're looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting once again at verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. In verses 16 through 22, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, as we look at the topic, the call to be a hearer and a doer of the word, listen to each command, because remember, each command is something the Lord is obviously, he's telling us to do. And you know, we're wise to not think of God's commands as burdens, because actually there's blessing following all of them. The more you hear God's word and do it, the more his blessing, his grace will pour into your life. And so one of the commands says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And you know, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100 tells us, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. At least twice in this passage, the Bible speaks of or alludes to the importance of us living thankful lives, giving thanks to God. And you know, to every brother and sister listening, I want to emphasize to you, you know, there's some of the most blessed lives or the greatest kind of life we can live is a life where we're full of thanksgiving and praise to God. Because remember this, all of life is a gift from God. All the good things we experience are gifts from God. When we learn to give thanks and praise to God as a lifestyle, it blesses us tremendously. The more you thank and praise God, the more it can stir your joy and help you to recognize how blessed we are. It's tragic how many people are discontent or upset or concerned that even though they really are blessed in many ways, their focus is on what they don't have or what's not going right. And the reality is that can lead to a life of misery. On the other hand, when we learn to thank and praise God and appreciate what we have, that can bless our lives tremendously. It is so wise to be thankful. It's important for us to learn that, again, to recognize how good God really is. Let's take a moment to just thank him now. And as I lead you, you take a moment to thank God for how he's blessed you in so many ways. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the opportunity to get up in the morning and to give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life. Thank you for family and friends and loved ones. Thank you for the chance to speak, to talk, to hear, to feel, to smell. Thank you for the many, many ways you run our cups over every single day. Lord, we are so blessed. You bless us so, so much every single day. More and more open our eyes to see how blessed we really and truly are. And empower us to be the thankful and grateful people that we really should be. Thank you for the opportunity to give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Keep in mind, when we're genuinely thankful and grateful to God for his goodness, we become instantly rich in the truest sense of the word. We recognize that all the blessings that we have are from God, and if it weren't for him, we wouldn't have any of them. And so being thankful for what we have. But again, on the other hand, when people are ungrateful, when they fail to take time to give thanks and praise to God, again, it can lead to a miserable lifestyle. And what a tragedy is how many people feel so hopeless or helpless in life because there's something or things that they don't have that they long to have, and they fail to recognize how blessed they really, really are. How tragic it is that so many times you have people that actually will go the tragic route of taking their own lives because they feel hopeless and discontent in some way or another with their life, not recognizing how blessed they really, really are. Father, more and more teach us to be a people that do what you said. In everything, give thanks, for this is your will in Christ Jesus concerning us. In Jesus' name, amen. My challenge and encouragement to you is ask God to help you to be a genuinely grateful person that will take time to give thanks and praise to God. And remember, God listens to every single thing that you give him thanks and praise for. God hears every thanksgiving, every act of praise and worship for his goodness, and he really genuinely appreciates it himself. Well, you know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you've met, with all it shall be measured to us again." God calls every believer to be a giver. Every believer is called to be one who, again, recognizes that life is a gift and we're all called to be givers. You know, the Bible speaks of tithes and offerings. A tithe is 1/10 of your income. In the book of Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, it says these words, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Verses 8 through 12, Malachi chapter 3. Again, the Bible speaks of giving tithes and offerings to the Lord. You know, I've heard it said that less than 8% of Christians all over the world give tithes to the Lord. What a tragedy that is, because remember this, remember when God commands us to do something, one of his goals is to both bless you and to bless through you. He wants to both bless you, but he wants to bless through you. And as we obey the word of God, it causes us to be blessed, but it causes us to be a greater blessing to the world around us. Just like when Abraham packed up and moved to the place God told him to move to the promised land, God not only blessed Abraham, but he blessed the world through Abraham, and the world is still being blessed by Abraham's obedience. So when it comes to our obedience in every area of life, we are blessed ourselves, but we become a greater blessing to the world as well. And certainly that's true about our finances as well. You know, remember this, God wants to bless you in every area of your life, including your finances. But remember, when we fail to give our tithes and offerings, we leave ourselves in a position where, number one, we've taken something from God that doesn't belong to us. Remember this, God can do more with your 9/10 incomes after you've given the tithe than you can do with 10/10. But it's tragic how often you have believers that are afraid to tithe, that will say things along this line. They will say, "Well, I'm afraid. I'm not sure it'll work for me that I'll be blessed." But remember this, there's no risk in tithing because God will. Remember, God is the only one that can give genuine guarantees. And all he does is when you give him that tithe and the offerings, he turns around and multiplies them back. He doesn't just give them back. He multiplies them back. So, you know, in all my years as a pastor, I think of this, that I've really sought to do this. It's been my goal to teach believers the importance of giving tithes and offerings to the Lord. And one of the reasons why is because whether they're members of the congregation I serve or not, I want to encourage them to be believers who give tithes and offerings, because it will always bless your financial picture 100% of the time. In other words, you're much better off financially when you give tithes and offerings to the Lord than if you don't, because God will supernaturally bless. Keep in mind, in the kingdom of God, the math is different from it in the world. In the world, 10 minus 9 equals, excuse me, in the world, 10 minus 1 equals 9. Whereas in the kingdom of God, when 10 minus 1, with 1 being the tithe, 10 minus 1 equals 10 plus, because God is always going to multiply it back. So my challenge to every believer listening is, you need to become a believer who faithfully, you would be wise to become a believer who faithfully gives tithes and offerings to God, because God turns around and doesn't just give it back, He multiplies it back. But remember, it's also an act of obedience. Remember this, all of your income really belongs to God. And one day we'll have to give account of how we used it. But the tithe in particular is such that we're to give to the Lord tithes and offerings, and then ask Him for wisdom insofar as how we use the rest of it as well. But every believer is wise to be a hearer and a doer in this regard. On the other hand, when we fail to give the tithe to the Lord, Malachi talks of it, says, well, it asks the question, will a man rob God? In other words, we're robbing the Lord. So it's important that we seek to honor God in this regard. So being a hearer and a doer of the Word of God, remember, it will always result in an outpouring of grace into your life. You're always better off, again, being a hearer and a doer of God's Word than if we fail to do that as well. And so there are many other areas in our lives where we're called to hear His Word and do it. And remember this also, obedience is one expression of faith. You know, we read Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about many different people in the Word of God who were great examples of faith being lived out. One of them, of course, as I just alluded to, was Abraham. He obeyed God, and that was an act of faith, to pack up his family and move to a place he'd never been before. But in obedience, he trusted God and obeyed, did what He told him to do. Our obedience is an act of faith, and so we're all called to be believers who are hearing His Word and doing His Word. Keep in mind, you can never outgive God. And remember this, God's goal is to bless you, and He also wants to bless through you. Remember, He wants to both bless you and your family, but He wants to bless the whole world through you and your family. And our obedience and faith in Him allows us to be blessed and to become a greater blessing. How important it is that we recognize that we're all called to be hearers and doers of His Word. Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity. You give us as Your people, as Your children, to be believers that are faithful to read and meditate on Your Word, but also You give us the chance to live Your Word as well. Help us to know, Lord, that Your Word, the Bible, the written Word of God, is a guidebook for all of life. Help us to know it's a book full of wisdom, a book full of grace, a book full of blessing. Help us to grow in our love for You and our love for Your Word. And help us more and more to be diligent to read and meditate on Your Word each day. Help us to be diligent as parents to teach and train our children to read and meditate on Your Word. But help us to recognize the great need for us to apply what we're reading and learning. Help us to know, Lord, that Your Word was fully meant to be obeyed continually, and thus blessing was to follow it as well. Help us to know, Lord, that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called to continually hear Your Word and do Your Word, and thus be the blessing that You fully intended for us to be. Anoint us afresh, Lord, with a spirit that would encourage us to read and meditate on Your Word daily, and anoint us afresh with a spirit of obedience. And help us to know, Lord, that there's so much wisdom, so much grace, so much blessing, so much mercy to be poured on the world as Your people are hearing what You've told us to do in Your Word, and we're doing as well. We thank You, Lord. And we praise You for this opportunity to be hearers and doers. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've looked today at the topic, the call to be a hearer and a doer of the Word. My encouragement is that you'll strive to do just that, to daily read and meditate on God's Word and live what you learn. Hear His Word and continually do it. Thanks again for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.